Our text this morning continues from where we were last Sunday morning, Luke chapter 18. We'll begin reading at verse 31 and continue through verse 10 of chapter 19. The last two verses of last week's text, Jesus talked about those who would leave everything behind in order to enter the kingdom. And as we begin reading today's text, think of what Jesus left behind to found the kingdom. Luke 18, verse 31. Then he took unto him the 12 and said unto them, Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and all things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man shall be accomplished. For he shall be delivered unto the Gentiles, and shall be mocked, and spitefully entreated, and spitted on. And they shall scourge him, and put him to death, and the third day he shall rise again. And they understood none of these things, and this saying was hid from them, neither knew they the things which were spoken. And it came to pass, that as he was come nigh unto Jericho, a certain blind man sat by the wayside, begging. And hearing the multitude pass by, he asked what it meant. And they told him that Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. And he cried, saying, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And they which went before rebuked him, that he should hold his peace. But he cried so much the more, Thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood and commanded him to be brought unto him. And when he was come near, he asked him, saying, What wilt thou that I shall do unto thee? And he said, Lord, that I may receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, Receive thy sight. Thy faith hath saved thee. And immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise unto God. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house, forasmuch as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. All who are able, let's kneel together in prayer.
Each one of you this morning, in the precious name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, welcome you to the worship service this morning. The topic this morning, as we continue on in our study of the Gospel of Luke, is impaired vision. Impaired vision. The ability to see clearly. The ability to see the way God sees. We think of unbelievers at times. Why don't they see things the way we do? And we understand that clear vision comes from the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. We understand that. But what about as us as believers? At times, do we have blind spots in our lives? At times, do we have the inability to see clearly God's will, God's perspective, or our sins? This morning we have before us in the text three accounts. And in each of these accounts, there are people that have an inability to see clearly. They have a blindness, an impediment to their clear sight. In the first account, their disciples, they have good vision, but their spiritual vision is blinded, Scripture tells us. They're blind to the teachings of Jesus. They're blind to some teachings in Scripture previously, in the Old Testament. In the second account, we have a man that's physically blind, yet I believe spiritually his vision is clear. And in the third account, we have a man that couldn't see clearly because of a physical impairment. He was short. And something always seemed to be blocking his view. The Scripture has much to say about blindness. It uses words like stumbling, groping. It uses the contrast of darkness and light, of understanding and discernment, of wisdom that we talked about in the Sunday school hour. All this has to do with the ability to see clearly. We have many accounts in Scripture also of men who had their visions cleared up, don't we? We think of the men on the road to Emmaus and how their vision was cloudy as they walked along the road, but then it was cleared and they recognized Jesus for who he was. We think of Elisha and his prayer and how his servant's vision was cleared up. We think of a number of blind men that were healed in Scripture. We think of the Apostle Paul, how he received a clear vision. We think of Job, at the end of all his trials, he says, I have seen God. Now my eyes are open. We think of the prodigal son, in that far-off land where all of a sudden the light bulb comes on and he says, what am I doing here when I could be at home? And his eyes were open. When we think about vision, the unsaved, our attitude against them is often against them, we think, why do they think that way? When our attitude towards the unsaved and their opinions should be one of great pity, because they are blinded in their sin and without the Holy Spirit, they're groping in darkness. But what about our own lives? Are we blind at times? In our council and in our committee meetings, are we willing to hear the advice of others? Are we blinded in our relationships? Can we see clearly how our actions and our words hurt others at times? In the decisions we make, can we see how our decisions affect others? Our view of circumstances and events of life. I'm constantly amazed how two people can be a part of the same circumstance, the same event in life, and come away with two completely different visions or accounts of what happened. What about sins in our own lives? We're quick to see the sins in others, but are we blind to the sins in our own life? Let's look at this first account. The account of some blind disciples. Then he, reading from Luke 18, verse 31. Then he took unto him the 12 and said unto them, behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and all things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man shall be accomplished. For he shall be delivered unto the Gentiles and be mocked and spitefully entreated and spitted upon. And they shall scourge him and put him to death. And the third day he shall arise again. And they understood none of these things. And this saying was hid from them. Neither knew they the things which were spoken. We We find the apostles and Jesus on the way to Jerusalem, on the way to the Passover. And I think the key word to this set of verses here is all things, found in verse 31. All things Jesus taught them. All things. And they understood it not. It seems like they were blinded to the idea of a suffering Savior. It seemed like they just couldn't grasp that. They were okay with a triumphant Savior. They were okay with a Savior that was going to be king and rule the world. They were okay with a victorious Savior. But it seems like they just couldn't grasp the idea of a suffering Savior. It was taught in Scripture. They would have been taught that. But somehow, for some reason, they couldn't grasp. They were blind. Their sight was impaired. They couldn't believe that the Messiah was to be delivered and betrayed by his own people. They couldn't believe that the Messiah would be mocked and made fun of and a joke and a sport of. They couldn't believe the Messiah would be spitefully entreated, insulted, humiliated, spit upon. They just couldn't believe it. They were blind. And the all things that Jesus taught them, they didn't grasp. They didn't understand. Seems incredible to us, doesn't it? Here they spent all this time with Jesus, and they didn't get it. We're going through some minister training now, and Brother Nell, in the last minister training, spent time speaking about communication. Ministers should try to communicate face-to-face. Avoid emails and letters and text messages as much as possible for important things. You see, in face-to-face communication, you can hear the tone of the voice. You can see the expressions on the face. But here, they were face-to-face with Jesus Christ. They were eye-to-eye with him. And yet they were blinded. There was no communication, no understanding. The text here says that they were hidden. These sayings were hid from them. That hid from them phrase may mean a couple different things. I think it possibly means it divinely hid from them. For whatever reason, God had darkened their eyes to that. I think that's a possibility. But there may be other things that hid the truth of Scripture and from Jesus' words from their eyes. One point I would like you to think about this morning is traditions. Traditions. Are there any traditions, commonly held beliefs that we have that would keep the truth of the gospel from us? Traditional Jewish thought was ingrained in these men's mind. They were looking for an earthly king. They were looking for a triumphant Messiah. They weren't looking for a suffering Savior. Traditions, long-held beliefs, have the ability to hide truth from our eyes. Most of you here grew up with truth. You had truth preached to you from the time you were young. And your goal now is to hang on to the truth. But it wasn't like that in my life. You see, the way I was raised, we read the same scriptures as you, but didn't make the same conclusions. Truths about non-resistance weren't taught in the way I grew up. Truths about non-conformity, separation, weren't taught in the church that I grew up in. And I think especially of truths about the head covering. clearly taught in Scripture, but in the tradition that I grew up, that text in 1 Corinthians 11 was always explained away as it was for Paul's time. It was for biblical time and not for ours. And you see that tradition, what you have ingrained in your mind, can hide the truth from you. Maybe the disciples in this text today were blinded by traditions and beliefs they have learned since their childhood. And they just missed the whole concept of a suffering Savior. Point number two of this, verse 34. We ask why. Why was it hidden? Why didn't they understand? And I believe it's very clear that only God can give spiritual light. Only God can reveal truth. Only God can work in man's heart that they would have wisdom and understanding. And only God can open eyes. Account number two is the exact opposite of the first account we looked at. The first account, we had people that could see, but were blind. Here we have a man who can't see, but yet I believe was spiritually 20/20 vision. Begin reading at verse 35. And it came to pass that as he was come nigh unto Jericho, a certain blind man sat by the wayside begging. And hearing the multitude pass by, he asked what it meant. And they told him that Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. And he cried, saying, Thou son of David, have mercy on me. And they which went before rebuked him that he should hold his peace. But he cried so much the more, Thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood and commanded him to be brought unto him. And when he was come near, he asked him, saying, What wilt thou that I should do unto thee? And he said, Lord, that I may receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, Receive thy sight, thy faith hath saved thee. And immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise unto God. Isn't it a great account? Doesn't it excite you? The healing here of blind Bartimaeus is listed in two of the other Gospels also, perhaps in more detail than we have here. But don't you just love the account? The blind man, physically blind, but yet it was a man who was spiritually 20/20 vision. He knows his need. He knows his need. He knows what his problem is, but more importantly, he knows where to go for help. That's someone who has 20/20 vision, that can see their need and know where to go for help. And nothing, absolutely nothing, would stand in the way of Bartimaeus going for help. He cries out when he hears that Jesus Christ is passing by, Son of David, have mercy upon me. And his friends or those people around him try to quiet him down. They say, be quiet. Keep quiet. But he cries out all the more. And as you study this scripture, that second cry was a cry from way down inside of him. A cry of an animal. A cry of someone who knew their need and they needed help now. And he cries out, Son of David, have mercy on me. He would not be shut up. Nothing would deny him. Nothing would stop him from seeing Jesus. If that's not spiritual 20/20 vision, I don't know what is. And Jesus stops. And Jesus calls him. And Mark records that he leaves all his earthly possessions behind. Whatever he had in that little pile as a blind man, his garments, left them all lay, and he goes to Jesus. And Jesus asked him, "What do you want me to do for you?" And Jesus heals him, and he follows Jesus and glorifies God. 2 points dealing with spiritual vision that I see in this portion of Scripture. Point one, what's keeping you back from your source of sight? What's holding you back? What's impeding you from having 20/20 spiritual vision? What's keeping you back from rushing to the feet of Jesus? Are your friends and family holding you back? What would your friends say when you forego a ball game to go to a prayer meeting to worship Jesus? What would your friends and family say when you forego a weekend camping or hunting to make sure your family got to church that Sunday? What keeps you in your seat when the Spirit moves you to come to Jesus in a revival meeting? What keeps you from running to Jesus today to seek spiritual 20/20 vision? What's holding you back? Maybe you're just too busy. My point here is, are you too busy to read the Bible? You know, we run to Jesus today by reading His Word. That's how we meet with Jesus, in His Word. And this thought challenged me. What about your life? Have you fallen into the trap of listening to sermons on your phone? It's not necessarily bad. I spend a lot of time on the road. I listen to a lot of sermons. Have you fallen into the trap of listening to radio preachers? Have you fallen into the trap of reading books about the Bible? Reading commentaries about the Bible? Reading histories of men who read the Bible but never pick up the Bible? It's a trap that we fall into. It's a trap I've fallen into at times. I can hardly drive by the Clay bookstore without stopping. But I have everything I need at home if I just read it. What's keeping you from running to Jesus and reading your Bible more? What's keeping you back from running to Jesus? Maybe it's your possessions. It's what was talked about in last Sunday's sermon. Our possessions. We have farms and businesses and camps and cottages and campers and boats and sporting goods and hobbies and bank accounts and 401ks and all that kind of stuff. And they're not all bad. But if they're holding you back, if they're holding you back from running to Jesus, then they are bad. And then they are a trap. The question you need to answer is, are you willing, if asked, to leave them all behind? Or will they be weights that hold you down and keep you from running to Jesus? You know, in last week's lesson, There was a man, the rich young ruler, who wouldn't throw them off. He fell into the trap. But in today's lesson, blind Bartimaeus left all he had and went to Jesus. I'm not sure what he had. Scripture says he left his garment. But with his garments, probably was everything that he owned in the world. And he left them lay, and nothing that he owned would keep him from going to Jesus to be healed. He went to Jesus. Nothing his friends could say, nothing popular opinion could say, nothing that he owned was going to keep him from having his sight restored in the presence of Jesus. What about you? What about me? Point number two. How have you answered the question that Jesus asked blind Bartimaeus? What wilt thou that I should do unto you? That hit home to me. How have you answered that question? It's changed the way I pray. I pray for a lot of things at various times. I pray for protection. I pray for peace. I pray for healing. But my prayers are changing. There are brethren here that I prayed for a long time for healing. I don't pray for healing near as much for them anymore. But I pray that they might have 20/20 spiritual vision. I pray that somehow God would illumine them, that they could see God in their position, that they could see what God would have them to do, that they could see the job that God has laid out for them, that they could see the result of the path that God has asked them to walk. You see how important 20/20 vision is. If you have God's vision, you can walk a lot of paths. If you could just get a glimpse of the reason why. I would tell you, brothers and sisters, we need to spend more time individually and as a church praying for spiritual vision. Praying that we might know God's will. In our last love feast, Brother Paul used the term in one of his prayers, and I don't remember what was around this term, but he prayed something about eye salve, and because I had this sermon in my mind, I wrote it down. I didn't remember where in Scripture that term is used. Probably most of you do. Where is a term used in Scripture? Eye salve. I went home, I looked it up. It's when Jesus spoke to the church at Laodicea. It was a church of the last days. It was a church that was wealthy. It was a church that had everything. Everything but spiritual vision. They didn't need God. They thought they were rich. They thought they needed nothing. They thought they were good the way they are. And in that, they had grown lukewarm. You know what Jesus called that church? He called them wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. That church's view of themselves was not like Jesus' view of the church. They were blinded. You see, it can happen to believers. And Jesus said, I counsel you to anoint thine eyes with eye salve that thou mayest see. We need to do that today. We need to pray to God that he would anoint our eyes with eye salve, that we might have spiritual vision, that we might see ourselves as God sees, and let nothing hold us back from rushing to Jesus to have that eye salve applied. Account number 3 is a familiar account. I won't dwell long on it. You've learned it from childhood. It was read, so I'll skip rereading it. It's an account very similar to Bartimaeus. And the problem with old Zacchaeus, the reason he couldn't see was a physical problem, wasn't it? He was short. But yet he had an overwhelming desire, and that's to see Jesus. He had a longing to see him, and nothing would hold him back. It wasn't very regal. It wasn't very, I don't know, the word doesn't come to my mind, for a man in his position to shinny up a tree to look for Jesus. Here, this great tax collector, he was wealthy, he was dignified, yet he didn't seem to be concerned with what others thought. He climbs a tree like a child just to get a view of Jesus. And Jesus sees him, and he calls to him by name. He says, Zacchaeus. And Jesus goes to a home of a sinner. Two points here I'd like you to take note of. Jesus calls him by name. Jesus calls him by name. He knocks at the door. He says, Brian, let me come in. He's knocking at your door. He wants to come in. He wants to spend time with you. Scripture says, if anyone, not only Zacchaeus, but if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person and they with me. If we lack spiritual vision, the answer is to spend time with Jesus. Let him come in. Spend time with him. He's knocking today. He's calling today. You don't need to walk in darkness. Let him come in. What about the men on the road to Emmaus? They didn't know it was Jesus, but they invited him in. And as they were breaking the bread, as they were dining together, the light bulb came on, and they knew who he was. It often wonders me, is as Jesus broke the bread and shared, if they saw the marks on his hands that caused the light bulbs to come on in their mind. What would have happened if they wouldn't allow, if they wouldn't invite him to come in? I don't know. But the point is they did. And in spending time with him, they received their vision. Point number 2. Jesus doesn't desire us to be blind, to be in darkness, or to be lost. Jesus is the light of the world. Jesus is the light of the world. When we studied Luke 4, we studied this passage. But it's the reason Jesus came. Jesus says he's came. And Jesus said that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. He has sent me to preach deliverance to the captives. He has sent me to recover the sight of the blind and set at liberty them that are bruised. That's why he came, that we might have sight, that we might have vision. Won't you run to him today? Won't you run to him today? Spiritual vision. There's a great danger in walking in darkness. But thanks be to God, we need not remain in darkness. There are many applications for us today, but we need 2020 vision spiritually, and it can only be found by running to your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. May God bless you.
One of my biggest problems is remembering the sermon, so I'm going to repeat it. Impaired vision. Try to remember that this week, and it'll help you remember some of the things that our brother talked about. The last point on Zacchaeus running to Jesus, did you take notice when Zacchaeus had a desire to see Jesus? Jesus already saw him. Jesus knew he was there. Jesus knows everything. How have you run to Jesus? I'm going to guess it's about in the vicinity of where Brother Derek Dilworth's sitting, maybe a little bit to his right. If you take notice, the two appendages that stick out from the walls were the original walls of the old church. They had risers. The center floor was level, and risers went up. And if Derek would stand up, my feet would have been right about where his head was. And one night when I was 14 or 15 years old, without my knowing it, I ran to Jesus. I had it all planned. Brother Donald Miller was the evangelist, and I was going to stand. I had it all planned. But it didn't work out that way. In an instant, I was on my feet and didn't even realize it. And what I had been putting off for 14 or 15 years finally brought an inner peace that only those of you that have run to Jesus know about. 3 points. The first situation our brother shared with us was a man who was able to see but spiritually blind. And the second point was a man who was physically blind but was spiritually able to see. And then Zacchaeus's sight was blocked because of his small physical stature. But Jesus already knew he was there. Jesus saw him. And I don't know if he ran to Jesus when he came down out of that tree, but I know he was excited that Jesus was coming to his house. And Brother Brian said it. He was excited. He was excited that Jesus was going to come to his house. So excited that he followed the law to the T, right, George? He gave back what the law required, which he had stolen. That's what's wrong with Christendom today. It's called repentance. I've been there. You've been there. And if the church today would only grasp to repentance, we'd see America, or not so much America, we'd see the church around us. We'd see a different church. You know, I have so much to say, and I shouldn't say it. Is there a green hymnal here? Turn with me to the last book, the last chapter in the book of John. And I get excited when I realize how the Holy Spirit puts services together. You know, we're in the presence of God. Now look in the song that Brother Eric led us in, number 30, The Love of God. That last verse just simply intrigues me. Could we, within the ocean fill, And were the skies a parchment made? Just imagine this. Were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade? To write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry. Brother Harry Sellers stood at this point one time and made a point in one of his sermons about the love of God, the power of God, the mercy, the greatness of God. He said, that big old lake out at Lake Marburg, he was emphasizing, trying to explain eternity. And he said, if every day a little bird would go out there and dip in that lake and take a drink, when that lake is dry, this is what Brother Harry said, when that lake is dry, that would only be the beginning of eternity. That's what this is saying right here. Just look at it. To write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry, nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. Brother Jeff prayed that he, for our brother Brian, that God would bless him to expound upon the scriptures and the situations that occurred, that are given to us. Now look, keep in mind what I just read about the love of God, and look at the last verse of John 21. And there are also many other things which Jesus did, which if they should be written, every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. Amen. The incidents that we have right here are just a tiny, tiny drop in the bucket of what he did. Of what he did when he was here on earth. Shall we stand for prayer?